Good evening, everyone. This is Skinny E Media here in actually the very place where Bobatron or Rob Bavister is located. I just actually saw him just yesterday. We were having a browse around HMV and CEX, but finally we got him on a special podcast right now about Halloween horror movies.
Don't give up your day job.
No. Okay. I don't even know where to begin with this one because, for the most part, horror has always been with us ever since before the Hays Code, after the Hays Code, rating system, Reaganism and Thatcher and video nasties, to the modern day, where you can watch such extreme material on Livelink or Best Score that surpasses any sort of Exorcist or Halloween, Conjuring.
Well, I mean, obviously, it goes without saying people have become desensitized to horror and by getting desensitized to everything, things that would have shocked people 50 years ago and 20 years ago probably don't really push the same buttons nowadays.
No, unlikely there, especially with everything being so open and available nowadays. What was shocking 20, 40 years ago, to some maybe, but I would say for the most part, it's not anymore. Unless you account something like Clockwork Orange.
But even that's Solo. Maybe Solo. I wouldn't say Clockwork Orange really has the impact nowadays. It's about it did. Exorcist certainly doesn't. Psycho, which could be said the first slasher movie, which, you know, pushed everybody, every button and every boundary that could there was at the time being, certainly doesn't have the impact nowadays. I mean, there's a reason now it's a completely uncut 15 via the BBFC.
I mean, 15 is pretty much the only game in town for a movie like Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. And that even includes his other films as well, like The Birds and Marnie. Some of his movies actually kind of have rapey vibes about them, so I'm not surprised by the higher categories, even if they are, you know, from our grandparents' generation. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, the 60s means more my parents' generations than they are. They are boomers, quite older boomers at it. It's about that. Oh, sorry, stumbling on my words a bit here. Bearing in mind, as you can imagine, as Halloween weekend, so I did have quite a skinful last night, and I am suffering from a hangover. I may,
Well, babble try a bit. Not to vomit on the microphone, because if you do,
not that bad.
I have to think twice. Like, I saw too much of it last night when I was on Queen Street.
You might have seen a bit of that, but no, I am not that bad. I'm just a little brain's just a little not functioning on all four cylinders, but I haven't. On the subject of Hitchcock, I've only seen Psycho and I only saw that recently. I haven't seen his other films, so I can't really comment on them too much.
Well, thankfully, that's not what we're necessarily going to talk about Hitchcock. We're just going to talk about horror in general and how much of an impact it's had on our lives, for better or worse. I will say, you know, every now and again, we like to talk about our early experiences with this genre. Now, for me, it's a bit of an unusual one because I know a lot of people who saw films that are clearly not appropriate for children, like Halloween or Exorcist. They saw it as young as 10 or 12. I think I even met someone who said they saw Jaws at 8. And I felt sorry for them because
those are kids that grew up watching Jaws. I mean, it had the, I know it's a very old PG, but it had a PG. It was considered sort of like a family film, but it really does. It's beaten a bit of a dead horse here to say. Jaws really pushed that rating to its utmost limit.
Oh, yeah. So I remember seeing that at the cinema. That was probably one of the second or third horror film I ever saw in the cinema at the time. Bear in mind, I was about 11 or 12. I can't quite remember. But my God. That's definitely not a PG film. That felt like a 15 to me.
Well, it's
like
12
a AA certificate.
Well, they were asking for, at one point, asking for cuts to avoid a double A, apparently. However, they were overruled and they said, yeah, no, you can have the whole thing rated out an A. Apparently, it was, that was originally cut, though, because it was cut to get the PG rather than R rating stateside. But then again, the cut was minimal, so I mean, I don't know what the. I think well, they just sort of.
Whatever minimal cuts there was, it certainly did make much of an impact because that movie still traumatizes generations. Gen Xers, baby boomers, even us millennials and Gen Z people are still fucked up by the sight of killer sharks in the ocean. But then again, at the same time, you have films like The Meg. That's a 12A. I would have thought, given the shock of Jaws, that would have been like a 15, hands down.
No, it's. Have you seen The Meg?
No.
I have. It's very lighthearted. It's very. It's not scary. It's not particularly violent. It's not brutal. While there are death scenes in it, my God, they are milk toast and everything. There is nothing in there that you could consider to be contentious and objectionable.
Well, it did look like it was more of an action comedy than anything.
It is.
Like The Deep Blue Sea or Piranha and Piranha 3DD. actually, I am a sucker for horror comedies. My earliest memories of horror, and this may sound strange, is Courage the Cowardly Dog, which aired on Cartoon Network, and then also some of the Scooby-Doo specials, like The Reluctant Werewolf, Nightmare Before Christmas, and then as I was a little bit older, I started watching a lot more 12s, and then came Mars Attacks and Eight-Legged Freaks, which I saw not at 12. I was a bit naughty. Oh, I'm going to go to jail. And I got them like as gifts for my father, and I thought, hey, these aren't too bad movies. But I would say to anyone who is curious, my first horror film is probably Nightmare Before Christmas or Beetlejuice. And Beetlejuice was a 15, and that was even more dangerous.
Well, yeah, it was a 12 now, but yeah, it was only a 15 back then. 12 didn't exist. Bear in mind, it was a PG stateside, so I mean. Yeah, I don't think it should have been the same category as Rambo.
No, no. Or Saving Private Ryan, because the 15, you know, for Beetlejuice has been around since just fairly recently. And that's one of the reasons why I always was a bit confused as how I was allowed to even see that. Because at the time I saw it, I was definitely not watching 15s. Not even as many 12s. So. Well, because it was Tim Burton, I love Edward Scissorhands, and Nightmare Before Christmas, which was made by Henry Selick, who is doing a movie right now called Wonderland Wild. I'll get to that later. So, yeah, Tim Burton, thank you. He used to be a good filmmaker, now he's shit.
That's true, he's obsessed with Johnny Depp for some reason. But no, he's... Well, if you look at the first two Batman films, which, of course, he made... There's a bit of horror element going on there when you think about it.
Oh, I believe that. You know, it comes from that sort of old-school horror vibe, so he often likes to focus on the gothic more so than the sort of blood and gut stuff that you see, like, from 70s and 80s slasher movies or torture porn like it is from the 2000s. But, yeah. I know I was talking a little bit about myself a bit too much there, but I'll tell you, what was your first experiences with horror?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, a lot of the things I used to watch that clearly I shouldn't have been watching when I was a little kid were most fell into action. Fell into the action genre. I suppose by some, if you want to stretch the definition, Terminator is kind of a horror film. Also saw Predator and Aliens, but again, I don't consider those to be horror films, really. I mean, I know they sometimes might label them under horror, but they're fucking not. I mean, I once saw Stephen King's Tommyknockers, which I still can't take seriously with a name like that, when I was a kid. And yeah, that actually, I remember that was quite scary, actually. I mean, as a kid, I tended not to watch your horror films very much because I didn't really like the idea of watching something with the purpose of getting scared. It's only as I hit my mid to late teens I actually started getting into horror and everything.
I think that's the appropriate age to start getting into horror movies because most of them 15 and 18 certificates, so I get that.
But... Well, yeah, but most of the action movies I used to watch are 15s and 18 certificates as well. Hell, even some of the comedies I would watch as well. As a kid, you just know what's going to have some cool shit in it. It's just that, obviously, I mean, I didn't, when I was a kid, I didn't really want to watch something, just which is meant to scare me and everything, because, I mean, I didn't understand why I'd want to do that. As I've got older, of course, I think there's something in part of you that realizes you actually enjoy being scared. I mean, that's why people watch all this fear-mongering on the news, not just because they want to pump you full of it, but there's just a market for that shit.
No, that is true. I mean, the amount of people I have talked to who said that one of their favorite films is Blair Witch Project, or I'm trying to think, the Halloween movies, at least the early ones. They go on about them and they say, oh, it scared me when I was a teen or a kid. Nightmare on Elm Street, I actually dressed up as Freddy Krueger, perhaps when I was like about 6 or 7 years old. And my goodness, I was not allowed to watch that movie growing up, but I certainly know what it was. I even dressed up with the evil gardening claws. I thought that was pretty cool. They parodied on Simpsons, and blimey, how do I forget? Simpsons was kind of my first foray into horror through its Trials of Horror episodes they usually air during this time of the year. And some of those episodes could get very violent and intense. And now, retrospect, you know, most of those were PG certificates back in the day. The good old days. But yeah. I would not imagine that kind of material would pass at PG nowadays. It's very likely a 12. In fact, probably maybe even 15.
No, it'd be a 12.
There's that episode where Sideshow Bob just bashes Bart's brains out and rips his intestines and shoots him in the head. That was just disturbing. That wasn't funny or cool. That was just sadistic.
I think the BBFC would just let the Simpsons get away with a 12 at the highest, because it's an established franchise. The Simpsons The Simpsons is very lighthearted. But it's very lighthearted. It's not threatening or offensive, at least not like it used to be. And let's face it, any edge the Simpsons once had has just disappeared. So I don't think the BBFC would rate any of the episodes higher than 12. Futurama, of course, got away with 12s. I suppose you could say those are sort of count as horror. Things are, anything that's marketed towards kids, I have a hard time sort of like taking seriously as horror. Because, I mean, you tend to think, well, horror is going to be in more mature audiences, hence why it's meant to be scary. Of course, same like kids, it's not going to really scare a grown-up.
Well, how do you explain stuff like Nightmare Before Christmas or Coraline or Monster House? I really like those movies, particularly Coraline and Monster House. And
those are some
quite intense images.
Well, I suppose you're right. I suppose you could count them as horror. But of course, I mean, just viewing it through the lens of an adult, it just looks so goofy. It's like it doesn't really come across as, scary.
Well, how about in the case of horror comedies like Shaun of the Dead and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2
or Evil Dead 2, Army of Lesbian Darks. Vampire Killers.
Oh, I remember seeing posters for that. I was like, no, that sounds like a porno. So I wasn't so sure on that one when I first saw the posters for it. But most of them I saw mainly for the laughs. If I really want to get scared or disturbed or frightened by something, I'd watch a political thriller or a drama about slavery or rape or wartime violence, Holocaust. I would not watch goblins and zombies killing and eating people. That doesn't scare me.
Well, I mean, that sort of supernatural stuff tends to not really scare people too much anymore. Although I say that, but I mean, you've got films like The Conjuring and everything, which can really put the willies through you. I mean, it's been said it before, or I think we have anyway, The Conjuring, even though they tried to get a PG-13 rating stateside, the MPA just said, no, it's going to have to be R rating because it's too scary.
I find that a little bit of strange when you think about considering You know, that can be said for a lot of PG-13 horror or thriller films that have fairly intense imagery and jump scares, but there's no blood or there's no excess gore. That's a really hard test to sort of gauge, because not everyone is scared by the same thing.
If it was, let's true.
Say for me, if they made a movie about box jellyfish that were attacking in the ocean, like the
there
shallows,
we go again.
Ooh, you have to give that an X rating for me. There's no way I'm going to watch something like that. Or even for you, spiders.
Well, arachnophobia. Well, but this way. Oh, God, how do I forget that? Arachnophobia. That's probably the film that scared me the most just because of my bloody arachnophobia. And, of course, the scene at the end with the general and the queen's spider. But, yeah, I mean... But, of course, I was going to mention, because this is this is part of our BBFC versus MPAA series. Of course, we all know the BBFC are quite strict on horror. Hell, even one of their earliest certificates was labeled H just for horror.
Nope, that is true. Been around since the 1930s until I think they replaced it with the X category.
20 years later.
Yeah, which in a way I kind of get that. Kind of tells the audience, you know, be warned, Dracula's coming out of his grave. And he's going to suck your blood.
That had an A rating, though. The Bela Lugosi Dracula film in the... Was it 32, I think? 31? Well, that's probably before they did the H rating. I'm rambling a bit.
I didn't even know that. Maybe I'm getting that confused with Nosferatu.
No, that's even older. That was done in the 20s. The H rating didn't exist then. It was just U and A.
Oh, My apologies there. I probably should have done a little bit more research on the very old horror films. Sort of like the Universal stuff, like Frankenstein's Monster and The Mummy.
Well, I mean, I don't really need to apologize. I mean, we all make our mistakes, and the human brain is subject to error. but no, I mean, I was quite surprised myself. But I think I bring up the fact that the BBFC is strong in horror because, as we just mentioned, The Conjuring was gotten rated R due to its scary nature, even though they wanted a PG-13. Of course, there are loads of PG-13 horror movies that that are made. The most recent one is that Pray for the Devil. And of course, the BBFC just go and slap them with 15s anyway. It's like, well, thank you very fucking much. I mean, it doesn't make much odds to us, of course, but like, you know, if you keep slapping the 15 rating on these damn films, the rating loses its meaning. And of course, I mean, you know, you give a rate like that, you put it in the same category as It, which is an R-rated film, and it's quite a hard R-rated film.
Considering children being murdered and the homophobic attack in number two.
Well, I'm just talking about the gore and the swearing.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's but then again, I know a lot of sort of 11 and 12-year-olds who've seen the recent It movies, as well as the Tim Curry miniseries. And that film freaks them out. That's why so many people don't like clowns. I mean, I'm cool with clowns. I thought It was a comedy. Isn't that a bit twisted of me to think watching him guy in clown makeup killing people is funny?
Well, to be fair, the production values on that TV show, plus Tim Curry's performance and his makeup and everything, yeah, it could be mistaken as a comedy. I mean, yeah, I get that. I mean, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies was essentially a comedy film. It was marketed in America as more of a horror, but in Britain it was like, nah, comedy.
Well, that's probably for the best there, because you can't really take a premise like that very seriously, my goodness. Or even Shaun of the Dead, for that matter, very seriously. The Zom-Rom-Com.
Yeah, that was... I did see that at the cinema, because it did just look like it would be, you know, just fucking awesome. And I think that was just slightly before the zombie craze massively took off and got a wee little bit out of hand. But, I mean... Yeah, that was a... Yeah, but that was a great film. I think that was the first 15-rated film which I heard the word cunt being mentioned. I mean, I don't think it was the first one for it to be mentioned. But it was the first time I remember hearing it in a 15-rated film, because I was still on the mindset back then that... Well, the word cunt automatically got you an 18 rating. And apparently he's like, well, if it did back then, it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me a little bit too, at least when I first saw it. Well, more so because they say it within the first 5 minutes of the film, like, can I get any of you cunts a drink? So I was like,
I didn't know
you could say it that early in the film. I thought, oh, you might have to wait at least about an hour.
I don't think it really matters how early you say it. And of course, I mean, it's incredibly comedic. I mean, you imagine everyone in the cinema just pissed themselves laughing when they first heard that. I mean, I certainly did. Just because Ed doesn't have many friends these days. Can I get any of you cunts a drink?
No, Edgar Wright has a good ear for funny dialogue and shots as well. The movie itself does get a bit intense in places. I mean, not for me, but I'm sure for others, with the man being his limbs and arms being ripped off and intestines are being gouged out. That was pretty graphic. If it was removed of any sort of comedic element, I'm sure that scene in question would have pushed the film to 18.
Well, that's the thing, though. I think Wright and Pegg were trying to aim for an 18 rating, or at least that's what I've heard, and were completely gobsmacked when they ended up getting a 15. But to be honest, though, I mean, this was around a time when a 15 rating was really starting to, well, basically the BBFC were chilling out because the ghosts of Furman had long since shed, and the 15 rating got a lot more, permissive. I mean, 2 years, was it 2 years or 3 years? I think 2 years before Shaun of the Dead, Dog Soldiers came out. And I remember just that, being surprised by how much violence I got away. It was like, how'd this get a 15? It's like, but then again, as time moved on, it's like, oh, they really do allow a lot more at 15 than they used to. To the extent that it started to get quite surprising if a film did get an 18, thinking, bloody hell, what's this got?
No, actually, I agree with you on that assessment, because there's been quite a lot of 15 horror films that I thought, had this come out 20, 25 years ago, they probably would have given it an 18, or they may have even given it an 18 with a few cuts and trims. The ones that come to mind, at least particularly for me, include Deathgasm and Turbo Kid. Yes, they're comedic, but my God, they're graphic and grisly. Or I even said about the Purge movies. They would definitely have been standard 18s had they come out in the 90s, considering the violence or sadistic nature of the whole thing. You know, all crime is legal for 1 year, that sort of thing. But I don't know, that's just my opinion. You probably have seen Deathgasm, because you're a bit of a metal head, and that movie's extreme.
Actually, I haven't. In fact, you've just reminded me of it, and of course, I haven't got around to watching it as of yet, but I intend to. I did notice a trend in the leniency of the BBFC, because first, in the 2000s, I noticed Jason X. Then there was Halloween Resurrection. Then there was Seed of Chucky and Blade Trinity. And then later in 2011, there was Scream 4, all of which got away with 15 ratings. Of course, it turns out that wasn't the first Chucky film to actually get a 15 rating, but still, I was quite surprised. And it's like, bloody hell, the BBFC have seriously chilled out and everything. Of course, it seems like they're reversing that now, because, well, the latest Halloween trilogy have all been rated 18, and of course, 18s, and the new Scream film was rated 18, and I don't know if it really think it really warrants it. And of course, there's all these other films that are coming out that are also all rated 18. I mean, we both just saw Barbarian yesterday. We won't get into spoilers or go into much details, because the film is marked in the fact that no one knows much about it, and so when they go in, they're going to be surprised. Also, that film Smile was also rated 18. I'm just wondering, BBFC, is this really necessary? I mean, are they really sure you can't pass these things at 15?
Let me add on some of those statements you've made about the films in question. I will say that I have seen Dog Soldiers, and I definitely thought the same thing as you did. Like, wow, that was brutal, especially with the intestines being laid out on the guy's stomach when he was attacked by the wolves, and then some decapitations and bloody stabbings. I thought, whoa. Have you seen Wilderness?
I have not.
Okay, that movie really is hard end 15. It's like Severance. It's almost like a sort of Hunger Games, Most Dangerous Game sort of vibe. Made scum. That movie was so brutal. I have to wonder, it's almost in the same sort of camp as something like, and I'm ashamed to say this, Haute Tension or Switchblade Romance. You know, with people being gored by wolves and then there's blood and people killing one another. Well, and I gets think... his leg clamped onto something like that. So, yeah.
Well, I think people being murdered by, being killed by animals is probably not going to get it into an 18 rating because, I mean, tone, well, just the tone of it, it's probably just going to, I don't know how well, to get my words out here, but, well, there's a difference between people being like sliced up by a masked psychopath or something and just being killed by a pack of wolves or a lion or something. It may be quite graphic, but at the same time, it doesn't really have a sadistic bent to it, if you get what I mean.
Oh, no, I understand. They usually tend, maybe a little bit more relaxed as the violence is an animal towards a human. But what I'm saying is there's a few particular scenes come to mind where the bloodletting is very overt. And there's even, you know, during the bloodletting, the man's intestines are almost being stretched out of his stomach by the wolf. His eye is gouged out and removed out of his eye socket. And his face has been gored by the nasty claws. I may show you a clip after this, but yeah, that was pretty strong stuff. See the Chucky definitely pushes the envelope, especially considering the whole shock value of Child's Play 3 that came before it, where people blame the movie because of a murder that
because
happened.
Because of Jamie Bulger. And of course, one of the perpetrators who actually did it said, he hadn't watched the Child's Play 3. He didn't even like horror movies.
That happens quite a lot than you would imagine, where the person has not seen the particular film that the media likes to claim is destroying or corrupting the youth. Natural Born Killers was a victim of this quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd heard that. I think that's what was banned briefly before being allowed on, but fucking hell, I hate all this stupid shit of people trying to blame movies or video games for freaking real life violence. No matter how many times that claim gets debunked and refuted, it's like there's no evidence backing this up. What, in the slightest? And yet people keep fucking buying into it. I will say, I don't buy into it as much as we used to. I don't think anyone's going to go to the level of Mary Whitehouse nowadays, or if they did, or not so much that no one will go to the level of screeching like Mary Whitehouse did. It's just that nowadays, people just won't take them seriously. I mean, you and I both know, I think anyone listening to this podcast knows, or two of them or another, that these claims that movies and video games cause violence, like a school shooting in America, like which they have on a pretty much a daily, weekly basis now, it's just bullshit. They're not shit. There's no evidence to back it up. If violence in movies or video games made people violent, this shit would be happening all the time because everyone watches this stuff.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean,
even now
your grandmother is watching pretty edgy material out there. I think I even saw like a few 60-somethings going to see The Green Inferno when I saw that at the cinema, and I thought, yeah, they're going to have a very hard time. This would have been X or banned had it come out years ago. But I think, to put it into perspective, it's the person that makes the monster. You know, very many elements in their life had led them to this situation where they decide to kill someone or cause a massacre. Blaming it entirely on one video game or movie does not solve the entire problem. What it does is create the possibility of censorship and the lack of legal access to get the kind of material that you want, provided that it's made within the context of the law. There is some room for abuse. I know Serbian Film is a movie that we saw the DVD for, unfortunately, at HMV. The one that's cut legally by 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And we were thinking, like, oh, shit, don't even touch it. Don't even look at it. Otherwise, headler. I don't know if that's what you call it in Wales. Headler or police will come for us and bash our brands.
Why?
By the movie.
I don't think that's light tone. You might get some looks if you went out and actually bought that DVD because, yeah, that's the film. I mean, I don't think there'll be a film as controversial as that ever. At least I bloody hope not, because, not seeing the film, no intention to it. I mentioned this on our NC-17 podcast. That, whoever made that film once, sick fuck, and I am just, don't know what goes in the head. I'm never going to watch that film, and I might, you know, give a few awkward looks to anyone who does.
Well, all we can say is we just don't recommend it. But would you say the same thing about Human Centipede 2? It's been cut by 2 minutes for the UK market.
Well, I mean, I have watched Human Centipede 2. Granted, it was cut version. I didn't think the film was particularly good. And it does... I wouldn't recommend it. But then again, I don't know what thought mostly about the first Human Centipede or anything. So, I mean, haven't seen the third one. All in all, I can't really... Well, where am I going with this?
Oh, that's all right there.
Don't think too highly of the Human Centipede films. Not just because I don't find them gross or whatever, I just didn't find them that engaging. One film I of course want to see is because due to the reputation it's getting is of course Terrifier 2.
Now that's a movie that has been that's certainly been the most wild headlines I've heard about it for a horror film in ages. People vomiting and fainting and passing out, and those aren't exaggerated reports. There's actually actual 911 reports and from the testimony of people who were there who saw the same thing. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's getting a full UK release in cinemas. I think it's just VOD and playing like at the Prince Charles Cinema in London, which I actually went to the other day, but they weren't playing Perfect Blue or Mad God, so I said no bother. But yeah, I will definitely see that if they do play in the cinema, just to see people's reactions, because that sounds pretty wild. The last time I heard something that wild happen was 127 Hours. And that was a 15 movie with a really graphic scene of someone's cutting their arm off just to survive.
Again, dude, coming up that word context again. It's not really a horror film. I suppose you could say it's a survival film, which has horror elements, but it's not really a horror film. It may be graphic, but again, context wise, it's not. There's no sort of sadistic bent to it or anything. So. Come on, I think we know why that film was cool at a 15 rating.
Oh, yes. I mean, I respect the 15 rating on 127 Hours, but for those who might be a little bit unknown or don't know a great deal, they could be in for a very rude awakening. But at the same time, Germany gave it a 12. France said it's for all ages with a caution, like I saw a PG advisory.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So at least they grew up. And the US even gave it an art. But yeah, I'm getting aside my point there. But yeah, Terrifier 2 is certainly one we will probably talk about on Twitter and stuff, person to person.
Well, sorry about that for technical difficulties there, but I finally got to have Rob back on the service again. As we were told about the controversy behind Terrifier 2, we don't know exactly if it's going to play in cinemas in the UK, but... we'll certainly keep an eye out on this one, particularly.
It's, yeah, it's certainly something that's, I want to keep an eye out for. I mean, my other people have been vomiting over it. Whether or not I'll be able to stomach it, I don't know. I mean, I like to think I can, but then again, it's always when you think you can that you suddenly realize, oh, yeah, not as tough as I thought it was. But,
Or it could even happen for films that aren't necessarily horror films, but they have excessive strobe imagery that makes people disoriented, like a Gaspar Noé film, which is heavy on the flash photography and the sort of spinning cameras.
Yeah.
My friend did not respond positively to Irreversible, not because of the horrific scene of rape, but because of the dizzying camera and the ultrasound. Or high frequency sound pitch.
Well, I mean, that if you're epileptic, that would that would affect you anyway, not in a positive way. So yeah, that would but you're I can see what you mean. See what you mean there. Of course, we're dealing with we're dealing about horror elements here, and maybe visual gore as well as just sense of terror and everything.
Oh yes, there's no mistaking about it there. As far as horror films are concerned, even on a film ratings matter, I actually tend to be quite picky with the ones that I tend to go for. Even if it is an 18 certificate, that doesn't necessarily mean I will simply go see it. Barbarian, which we both seen, was a bit of an exception because I haven't been in the UK in a long time. So I kind of made up for not seeing an 18 film with the black card involved, just for this time being. But I probably wouldn't have done the same if it was Halloween Ends, because I don't have a strong connection with the Halloween franchise. For
I didn't bother with Halloween Ends because I saw the reviews. I thought, fuck it, no way. I saw reviews for Barbarian. That's why I wanted to go see it.
Is that all right?
Oh, yes. I totally understand that. Have you seen Smiles?
I have not.
Well, I'll put it this way. If you generally like the sort of psychological stuff, you probably would. As far as the 18th century is concerned, I think it was mainly given it because of one or two scenes, and it mostly involves self-harm and suicide.
Well, they do come down hard on that and everything. I suppose it's fair enough and everything. Of course, I remember I went to see Overlord a few years back, and of course I've noticed that, because I noticed that at an 18 as well. I was like, well, I hope this is bloody warranted. Of course, that's about like Nazi zombies and everything, so I thought that'd be pretty cool.
Oh yes, well, it got in Australia R18, mainly because of scene involving a man's face being smashed with the butt of a rifle. That was very bloody and prolonged. So I got excitement out of that, but at the same time, because of that war context, it makes it a little bit tricky because now it's in the same sort of camp as stuff like Saving Private Ryan. But then again, Inglourious Basterds was given an 18, and that was a war movie because it took liberties. And it had the usual Tarantino level sadism.
Well, exactly, yeah. Just because the we discussed this. I mean, on the previous podcast, it's like the BBFC just come down hard on like Tarantino films.
No, they do. I'm personally fine with all of his films being 18, except for Jackie Brown, because in my world, this is crazy. 18 means your film is badass, and no one will mess with it. If you look like you have a 15, people will think you're a sissy or it's weak. Even Kermode said that.
Yeah, I know. It's just weird though, because when you look at it, 15 is our equivalent of an R rating. And of course, when Americans talk about their R rating, they like think it makes. They say it makes it look like it's badass and everything. It's like, that's just kind of weird because I mean. Yeah, we did their NC-17. That's clearly their equivalent of an 18 rating, but they just go out their way to freaking avoid it. Or I suppose, they might also consider the NC-17 badge of honor. I mean, we talk about David Cronenberg and all his flicks, and then his son got Brandon Cronenberg got an NC-17 as well, and I reckon they just makes it a badge of honor. All the Saw films originally got one, but that's not surprising. We can see how violent those films are. What's surprising is how much gore there still was in the cut R-rated versions.
Yeah.
Well, one may think it probably has to do with back-end deals, because MPAA does a lot of negotiating with filmmakers, and the people who rate them are more or less parents. They're not hired professional staff that work in the media, like the BBFC. So there's a bit of a schism involved, and they do something like a sort of public vote like you would do in Congress. which I, for one, am a bit more critical of MPAA's system because of the way they do treat the NC-17, to where you have a film like Terrifier 2, which is doing quite well on a sort of underground level, but could not obtain the rating because they feared that they'd probably get that dreaded X. So yeah, they went unrated with Terrifier 2, and as we have seen, people are not responding to it very positively.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was like someone I was following on Twitter, I can't remember his name, said, asked the sarcastic question, is there an R-rated version of Terrifier 2? It's like, yeah, it's in the bin where it belongs because it'll be pretty much unwatchable. I mean, it just get down to it. What I hear about, you can get down to an R rating, it just leave it not a movie.
No, exactly. There, I mean, most movies that do get that dreaded NC-17 or X usually don't need necessarily a censored version. Because, you know, sometimes it's based on, like, certain technicalities. Maybe there was a little bit too much lingual nudity or that sort of thing in a particular scene. Or there was too much focus on throat slitting, like it was in the Jennifer Lynch movie Chained. Some of the criteria that they have is a little bizarre, we'll say, because you ask yourself at times, and I'm sure you can even say this for non-horror films, that you've seen a film with a similarly graphic scene in a rated R movie, but yet they couldn't show it in the other rated R movie, otherwise they would have got the NC-17. That has happened. So when I saw Smile, for example, there was a really graphic throat slitting that involves a lot of bloodshed and self-harming, and it lingers on it for about 30 seconds. Had this been a sort of indie film, and had this come out 20 years ago, they would have flagged that. They would have said, you can't show that much bloodletting doing the suicide. It's a strange way of testing, you know, value, distance, and changing times, and who's on the team and who isn't, because sometimes you can get stuff slipped in if you get the right sort of people. I think it's just cynical, really. Cynical. But I will say, on a slight love note, what are your favourite horror films, by chance?
Yeah, I've been trying to think of what that might be, actually. I mean, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I've got my guilty pleasures, like I've got Freddy vs. Jason and the Resident Evil movies, but again, they're just guilty pleasures. I mean, they're certainly not good films. I suppose, pardon me, Shaun of the Dead might count. I do love that movie, and it technically falls in the horror genre. I mean, I don't know what other movies. I mean, I suppose I like Dog Soldiers. I like that quite a lot. I don't know if I really do have a favorite horror movie. I mean, it's like sometimes when people ask you who's your favorite band or anything, it's just like one does not simply have a favorite.
I mean, I'm the same way too. You know, one day it could be Coraline, one day it could be Censor, one day it could be Corpse Bride, one day it could be Elfin Lied or the Chris Moore Show Jam, and then it could be Child's Play or Chucky. Coincidentally, my favorite horror films all begin with the letter C. I don't know why.
I'm pretty certain that's just a coincidence, dude.
Well, tell that to the gods who are responsible for controlling my media and viewing habits. But yeah, strange world. So unfortunately, I can't really tell people what my favorite horror films are because they usually will laugh at me. No one, if I told them I saw my favorite horror film was Coraline, they'll think, oh, you're a baby. You can only handle Night Before Christmas level stuff. You can't handle the more extreme stuff like your Saws, or even for that matter, August Underground and Faces of Death and grotesque films that have either been banned or never been shown in the UK because of fear of censorship.
Yeah.
I don't know if you get the same thing too, like if you told people.
I couldn't really say what my favorite horror movie is. I mean, I suppose if you look at all the movies that get put under the label horror, no matter how loosely, most people would probably say those are Jaws, because that's technically a horror movie, and fuck it, it's a good one. Well, it's a good movie that's labeled horror, so I mean,
No, you're absolutely right. I consider it a horror film, even if it is a PG rating by MPAA or originally BBFC. It shouldn't be. It should be rated R, but it's a horror film. In the same way Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby was. Now, those were films that were very shocking for back then. I'm sure they are now. But then comes a bit of a weird sort of conversation I also have about horror versus thriller. Now, I know it's a bit open to debate, really, but I don't consider movies like Last House on the Left and Straw Dogs and Get Out and the Purge movies horror films. People do, and that pisses upsets me. Excuse my French.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure Last House on the Left is pretty solidly a horror movie. I mean, it checks all the boxes. I mean, Purge. Like I said, I haven't seen any of the Purge films or anything. I mean, I suppose you could just say they're thriller movies, but they're also kind of horror. I mean, and what was it? And I haven't seen Straw Dogs.
So Get Out really... was the other one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
But I don't consider it a horror film mainly because of the satirical elements and the use of sort of social and political issues as a metaphor. And also, there isn't really much in the way of supernaturalism. What divides horror from thriller, at least in my eyes, is if it's realistic.
Well, by that logic, though, all the slasher movies aren't horror films.
Well, that one, a bit more room for debate there. I will sometimes include a film that's horror that may well be a thriller if it's very gory. That includes like Switchblade Romance or Autopsion, or even I don't know if you can even say this, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. And that movie faced a lot of problems with the censors in both the US and the UK.
Yeah, I had heard. I can't see that's a film I'm really going to want to watch, so I'm probably not bothered, to be honest.
You've got to have a strong stomach for a movie like that one. It's not like Manhunt, the video game which was banned or got the AO, but then they had to change it to an
That was Manhunt 2.
Yeah, Manhunt 2. It's not like that. It's just relentlessly grim. No sort of savior to kill the serial killer or anything like that. It's not even like Silence of the Lambs, which actually had some wit to it.
Oh yeah, that was a great horror film, that is. And The Shining.
I would say they're more thrillers, but yeah, those are films that people hold in very high regard there. I prefer The Shining a little more than Silence of the Lambs, but yeah. I know it seems a bit weird to, know it was X or 18 when it first came out. Now it's a 15. Yep. But yeah, some of the ones from back in the day just don't have the sort of excessive gore or blood like you see in today's movies.
Well, no, they're trying
a bit of a dissonance.
Well, I think they try to reduce the. Well, obviously they reduce the amount of blood and gore because they couldn't get away with it. But also the lack of blood and gore also helped leave more to the viewer's imagination. That the reason why Texas Chainsaw Massacre was so controversial because Tobe Hooper, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, who was trying to make it so it was a PG rated, so he left absolutely no gore in the film whatsoever. I mean, Jaws is more visually violent than Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but because that left so much to like the freaking audience's imagination, it just terrified absolutely everyone. And yeah, James Furman called it the pornography of terror. He felt he had to ban it because no amount of cuts would make it pass. There was no way to cut it to make it passable, which is really stupid of him. But yeah, because it left so much to imagination and didn't show much, it's what made it scarier, at least back then.
Well, some films work on that sort of level, like Michael Haneke's Funny Games, which is a German language film from Austria about two sadistic weirdos who come and terrorize a middle-class family. They featured on Last Days of the Board, a great documentary about James Furman in the last days of his tenure. And that movie had no graphic violence except for one particular scene, but it was reversed and done in some sort of weird satirical meta-textual context that it was given an 18 based mostly on terrorization and threat, more so than actual violence.
What film was this again, did you say? Sorry, I missed it.
funny games.
You probably would like it. I know I did. I like both the US and the German language versions. But I think you have to be a film student to appreciate a movie like that, because it's very sort of satirical and badly comic in a sort of disturbing way. And the only time I ever felt that way about a film of that ilk is probably Todd Solondz's Happiness. Now, that's not a horror film, but it certainly deals with subject matter that would horrify any parent. I think you can guess why. I have to be a bit careful about what I'm talking about in public, but yeah.
Well, I can probably possibly. I mean, I haven't actually watched the film, so I don't know if I've even heard about it before now. So I wouldn't. I haven't really got much to add to that, to be honest.
That's all right then. You know, to each his own, I suppose. I mean, I know I'm sounding like a broken record. If you want to scare someone, you got to show them the sort of realistic things in the world. That's why ads for road safety and NSPCC generally are a bit more impactful to me than any sort of zombies, ghouls, or vampires.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I say, there's a reason. Well, they did bring vampires back briefly, but I mean, generally speaking, the supernatural and the paranormal. I'd say that's like a fallen out of vogue, but Christ, that came back big time, all those Conjuring and Paranormal Activity movies. But for a while, they did fall out of vogue, because, you know, you had your Draculas and your Wolfman and your Mummies, but of course, that just didn't, you know, everyone knows that's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, a masked psychopath roaming around stabbing people with various forms of bladed instruments, that's a bit more grounded in realism. It's not very likely, I don't think, but
well, you should have heard the recent headline about a lady, Gemma Goldman, I think, like, decapitated someone, and this happened in little small old England. This wasn't in America or Iraq or something. And that's a pretty horrific headline, needless to say. That sounds like something that you probably would have heard better in the 90s with the Dan Blaine mask or Hungerford. And then even reminding that, well, if you're thinking about supernatural horror, that was really disturbing. Hellraiser comes to mind. There was a particular scene, you probably have seen it, which involves a man being hooked through all corners of his body, and his face is all stretched out, and he's crying in pain, and it says, Jesus wept.
I have that, only seen first two Hellraiser films once, and but I do remember him being hooked and everything.
I didn't like that scene. That scene was really disturbing for me. And the R-rated version.
the Hellraiser films do just have that sort of aspect about them, which is just massively unsettling because of a whole them from a hell dimension and everything, which can really unsettle people. But then again, obviously, as these things get more and more entrenched in our pop culture psyche, they do lose their impact. I mean, the Alien and the Predator, of course, very scary back in the day, but now that's just another thing you might wear as a Halloween costume. I mean, everyone knows about the Xenomorph and what they do. There's nothing more to really much to add, especially considering the whole point of the Alien when it first came out was that Alien wasn't so much a noun rather than an adjective. It was alien, it was unknown. So the audience were constantly wondering, kept guessing.
Well, you know, maybe based on the sort of gender involved, that they're a bit more unspecified. They did say on a book I got from Christmas that they gave it an X rating because of the sexual imagery, because the Xenomorphs were somehow phallic, which I'm trying to get my head around that, because there was that scene with the stomach popping out, and that was pretty gruesome.
Not that gruesome. It's pretty tame for it to be put in the same category as Clockwork Orange or Friday the 13th for Exorcist. I discussed that on my James Furman podcast with Tom on his Secrets of a BBFC podcast.
Oh, yes, I do remember you were speaking to him on that level. But yeah, it was just a little bit bizarre from what they said from the case studies on the first Alien film, that they gave it more based on something that looked phallic rather than the violence and the gore. I just thought that was interesting and bizarre. And that was at the same time they were giving out AA certificates to horror films that were, you know, quite edgy. Demon Seed comes to mind, which had sci-fi elements, and that essentially was a movie about a young woman being sexually assaulted by a robot.
Well, about, was it 3 years after Alien came out, Ridley Scott then did Blade Runner, and that's been given a double A rating, and Blade Runner and Alien are about as violent as each other. But the thing is that Alien isn't that violent a film. That's the point.
No, you're right. It would be the sequels that would push the envelope a little bit more. Not especially Alien Covenant.
Well, possibly. But Aliens isn't particularly violent either. Not compared to the Predator.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely agree with that. Predator is more gory.
I mean, that's a 15 now. Because I think it's because the nature of what's killing them, the Predator itself, that Turner removes from the sadistic, well, the sadism and the terror and everything. That's why Predator films and Alien films in the eyes of the BBFC are perfectly fine at 15, which they should have been, always been.
Well, it's got the sci-fi context, and it's a little bit unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is. A sci-fi horror film is going to get a much more lenient rating because it just does, because it is sort of moved from reality.
No, you're right. I mean, if anything, these days it's usually at 18 that you start intervening when there's a sort of rapey element to the horror, or if it's just so violent and gory. That's kind of the two sort of caps and feels that you tend to go in. If it's rapey, if there's suicide, or if there's way too much violence and gore.
Yeah, sexual threat, they call it, the BBFC.
Oh, I certainly believe that. I mean, let's just be honest. Your mother, your sister, your grandmother, and your girlfriend does not want to watch films of that sort of material. That scares 51% of the world's population. And even men watching it, Jerry, tend to be freaked out because they think, uh-oh, I probably did that in my lifetime.
Well, possibly. I mean, it's not like there weren't any women going to see, well, I won't want to give too much away, but the BBFC did put sexual threat in their rating details for Barbarian, and yet there were women in there. I think, again, not going to give anything away of what happened to me because it's, you know, surprise. But as you say, like 51% of the population won't want to watch it. Well, I don't know, really. I mean, Irreversible, or however you pronounce it, has. I haven't seen the film, but what I hear, it's got quite a graphic rape scene. But of course, the way the film's done, it goes into the horror of rape and the psychological effects of it. It does try to portray it more from the view of like the victim rather than the perpetrator, which is why it's got rape in it, but it's done in a decent manner. Well, as much as you can do.
Well, it was certainly a horrible experience to watch for about 9 minutes, that particular scene. But it is not necessarily exploitative or trivializes the matter.
That's what I meant to say.
One of those horror subgenres, or even for that matter, revenge or vigilante or thriller subgenres, that Jerry is a lot more controversial than even the sort of gore splatterfest that movies like Saw and Hostel or even the Peter Jackson movies are known for. So I generally tend to be very guarded and careful about talking about these sort of fake revenge type of movies because they're so controversial, especially within a sort of Me Too climate now, where if you say anything like, hey, you have a nice dress, you could get fired for sexual harassment. Or even if you just say, excuse me, ma'am, they may even scream the R word at you. So you have to be very guarded and careful about talking about this subject. So, but then again, at the same time, films like Promising Young Woman was very popular with a female audience because it took power back to the woman against the crimes that men would do. And I was at 15. In fact, probably the only 15 certificate rape revenge movie that I've ever heard of.
That's because rape isn't actually in the movie. In fact, the word rape isn't even mentioned in the movie. It's about rape. It's about sexual assault, but they never mention it or anything. They definitely don't show it. So I mean, well, where am I going with that? So yeah, I mean, that's probably why it's because it is a feminist film. It, in fact, I can't remember the name of the company that made it. I think it's Margot Robbie's company. I'm just going to Wikipedia it right now. Promising Young Woman. There we go.
Yeah, she did produce it. I think Sky distributed it for VOD release, and then in America it was distributed by Focus.
Lucky Chap Entertainment.
Well, she is Australian, so they probably use slang like that. But yeah.
Well, that's the name of a production company. It's specifically It's founded by Margot Robbie. It's deliberately to create more female orientated and more feminist films. They also did that Birds of Prey film that came out in 2020 as well, which was a fucking good film.
I actually like that movie. I know a lot of people seem to have some sort of issue with it because of its politics, but I thought it was well done. That skinning scene where the man, it was implied with his face being peeled off, was, that was very Reservoir Dogs of them.
Well, I mean, I guess so. You didn't really see it though, did you?
Well, just like Reservoir Dogs, you don't see a man's ear getting cut off, but the after effect is quite disturbing.
True. Again, though, I mean, Reservoir Dogs was back in 1993, so times have changed. And again, I think it's part of a whole Tarantino derangement syndrome of the BBFC. And again, there's all the realistic nature of it. I mean, Birds of Prey is a comic book movie, and it's very much shot in a very comic book style. Reservoir Dogs is, well, not. It's set in a grounded and gritty and quite realistic. And of course, there's just the overall tone of it. Whereas it does come in a more sadistic overall demeanor of the film Reservoir Dogs, as Tarantino likes to do. Whereas that's not there in Birds of Prey. It's not reveling in what Ewan McGregor's Black Mask was doing to those people.
So I got myself a little bit off topic, but we could talk about that on the superhero podcast, knowing us there.
Well, we could have. I don't know why we didn't.
I think we were probably too focused on the Marvel stuff and Deadpool, Kick-Ass, that sort of thing.
Well, to be honest, there's so much stuff we could have added in, but the podcast are probably about 4 hours long. So, I mean, you have to sort of like pick and choose what you end up talking about, really.
No, you're absolutely right there. I mean, I could go on for hours about the horror film genre in of itself, even with the TV shows. Because I know Walking Dead, that's varies between 15 and 18. And that can get very graphic and shocking. Some people even say Game of Thrones delves into the horror elements. But that's
more fantasy.
Like Lord of the Rings. And then for TV, I know I said earlier ago, Chris Morris's Jam. I don't think people would consider that a horror, but I do, more so than a comedy, because it was just so surreal and bizarre, with weird voices and disturbing material involving people ejaculating and children and babies being murdered.
Ew.
Or sent into a death chamber, or sort of not.
Well, we mentioned earlier how times have changed and standards have changed, and what was shocking back then isn't so shocking now. And of course, I can't believe you haven't mentioned it, so I don't think we mentioned it. Video nasties. The whole video nasty things from the frickin' 80s. Of course, they're all just these shitty horror films and everything. And of course, you look at these those video nasties. I'm doing the air quotes, by the way. You look at them now, just. Wow, they are really not pushing any boundaries. They are just so mild in comparison to, say, Saw and Hostel and countless other horror and splatter films we have nowadays. It's like, this is what got Mary Whitehouse and her ilk in a tizzy, like Driller Killer and whatnot.
Well, I think part of it may be a result of Britain's cultural fabric and makeup back in the day. It was very much sort of middle class conservative types who lived like in Surrey and Kent, which is where I have family who lives in Kent, but I won't delve into too many details. They tend to go up in arms about if there's too much violence or sexual stuff on their TV. So I'm not surprised they had a bit of a tizzy about that sort of thing, and they could use Thatcher's conservative government as a vehicle to adopt their legislation. Because certainly, God knows, they wouldn't have got that sort of thing passed through under Labour.
Well, that's why I can never vote Tory, but that's getting a bit political.
Oh no, you can be political. I mean, I've talked to shit about Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss. I even done a song near the Parliament and Big Ben. I'm saying, where are you, Trussie Wussie?
Oh yeah, been meaning to watch that. I mean, okay. I mean, I have my reasons for voting, and it's not just that's not the only reason why I wouldn't vote Tory. I mean, the laundry list of reasons why I wouldn't vote them is just too long to just go through, and it probably wouldn't be exhaustive. But yeah, I mean, again, I don't really want to get too political because, you know, I don't want to alienate any particular viewers. But I mean, yeah, it's just like, even if you watch the film Witchfinder General, even that film with Vincent Price, that's it, about Matthew Hopkins, the Witchfinder General. And of course, that was one of the most violent films at a time. It absolutely terrified the censors. It was heavily cut when it first released here. Now it's, of course, completely uncut. BBFC have passed it 15. Just, again, it's just things that really shocked back then don't switch now. In fact, I don't think Exorcist is even any worse than Hereditary.
I would say it's about the same, or perhaps even mild, because Hereditary had that scene with the decapitated girl's head. That was pretty nasty, and I know I'm giving spoilers away, but most people have probably seen it by now. And then Toni Collette slitting her throat with a wire. This is filmed in darkness. Yeah, that was a bizarre, quite strong 15, I'll put it that way. I didn't like the movie. I think Midsommar is a little bit better than Hereditary, and Midsommar definitely pushed the envelope on some regards to where they even gave it NC-17 initially, until they had to trim some of the sexual stuff to get it to R.
And that R rate has still got R version has still got rated 18 over here, so it's like, well, that was a pointless cut being made then. You may as well just give us the full-on uncut version.
Well, America is the bigger market. They have the more leeway and say over what you can or cannot show, which is a pity, because that also affects other markets where they tend to have a bit more liberal attitudes, like Sweden and France, who aren't likely to just ban something or give it an 18 simply because there's a bit too much blood or tip.
Yeah, I wonder what it takes for a film to get an 18 in France.
You know, that one I really don't know. I think you have to make it extremely pornographic and show people being decapitated and looms out and full-blown rape scenes. It would have to be something like Irreversible meets Baz Noir.
Well, yeah,
something really that horrible.
Even Baz Noir was originally rated 16 in France. It's like, fuck me.
And well, that went into a court battle between some of the more social Catholic groups and then the CNC, which is their equivalent of the BBFC. And that was a bit of a tough battle. And that was, I think, one of the first times a film could be past 18 in France without receiving this sort of classement X or X classification ban, which they usually reserve for pornos.
Oh, yeah. Of course, a Serbian film did get rated 18 in France, because, of course, that would. Whether or not it was cut or wrong, I don't know. IMDb won't tell me.
Well, actually, I checked the CNC website on that particular title, but there's actually no actual trace of that film ever receiving an 18 by the French censors. Same thing with Human Centipede. They actually never assigned an official rating. it's kind of like in the US where they can just assign their own ratings on unrated works as they please, which leaves room for abuse. I'm not a big fan of that. Netflix does it all the time, particularly here in Europe with the whole 13, 16, 18 thing, which I think is very confusing. It's an algorithm, it's what it is.
Well, I mean, oh yeah, that very much is. Well, like I say, I mean, they have all these age ratings on these on everything in Netflix, but it doesn't. But of course, that's not actually put on there by the BBFC. It's just, like I say, an algorithm. Like I've said, one thing I like about streaming is it doesn't have to be rated by the BBFC. And of course, that's a good thing, because I think it's absolutely fucking ridiculous that you can't sell something on video here if it's not rated by the BBFC. That is censorship by proxy.
No, you're right there. There's no way of getting around the loopholes if you have to do it for video and cinema. But at the same time, there is also the air of you don't have to pay to get your work submitted. And because there's so much content that's been released on these platforms, and because you don't have to necessarily pay like £1,000 or something just to get about 90 minutes of film being a certified of rating, it's probably why they do that. There actually was a documentary that satirized why it's so expensive to submit to the BBFC. I think it was some bloke named Charlie something. It was called Paint Dry, which was essentially 8 hours of...
I heard about that.
...on a wall, a static image, and he'd done it as a protest against the board. But they still rated it a U, no material likely to offend or harm. They didn't get in on the joke. So, wow. We've certainly come a long way. I would have thought they would have sent like a cease and desist letter from the BBFC's solicitors or lawyers saying, how dare you mock us?
Well, to be honest, I mean, he didn't technically do anything illegal. I mean, he wanted to release a film and it had to be rated by the BBFC. See, that's what he did.
And he's to be commended for it, even though there's really no rewatch value. It's just paint drying at the end of the day. But before we close this podcast for good, I think it's safe without saying that we need to talk about Prano Bailey Bond here, who done a movie about the BBFC that was rated by the BBFC. And they didn't take offense to it. Now, I know I go on about this movie a lot. I think it's one of the greatest movies ever made. I don't know how you viewed the censor.
So, I did watch it. I liked it. All seemed a bit... it's a bit of a head trip and everything, because the woman who's like in charge of the censorship at the BBFC... basically slowly descends into madness and everything, but I think that's basically just a jab at the people who are likely in charge of the BBFC, most notably James Furman, because it's set in the 80s during the whole Video Nasties kerfuffle.
No, I think that was the inherent charm about it. I think partly it's because I visited their offices just recently, and I also went to an education seminar on June 2013, is why it meant so much to me seeing that movie than, let's say, Exorcist, which I can't relate to, and having talked with BBFC people actually on my skinny media and through, you know, just personal contacts. It was a very, very, very surreal experience. Only this film is not yet rated was perhaps the closest thing, and probably anything with Richard Ayoade in it, mainly because I kind of look like him. But, yeah. So anyone who hasn't seen Censor, go see it. It is a 15, but it's definitely 18 level in terms of its content. I think the reason why I probably got a 15 was because it was very sort of self-aware. And the Video Nasties imagery, despite how graphic it was sort of put in a sort of documentary context.
Well, yes, they did actually say in their report it was removed from the context of the actual movie and therefore didn't really have the impact it would have had if you were actually watching that movie itself.
that's kind of what I thought too. It was a little bit bizarre because I first saw it before they actually assigned a rating. I thought, oh, this is definitely going to be 18. Nope, I was absolutely wrong. And
I'm
that
not surprised.
Doesn't happen very often.
I thought it was going to be a 15. I didn't expect it was going to be a 15, and they did. I would also say, if you like horror films, but you like more artsy horror films, and or as they say, elevated horror, as they said in the latest Scream film, most of the stuff done by A24, it was a horror film done by them, is pretty good. It's very artsy, very yeah, because it's independent and it's just made with the purpose of actually making a decent film. So yeah, I would recommend. I mean, I've seen quite a few A24 films, a few A24 horror films. Lamb was one recently, though that's kind of hard to put down as a horror film. It's just, don't know what it is, actually. But yeah, I would have highly recommend, just if you see A24 as a name on a horror film, I advise checking it out. And Barbarian is worth watching, too. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it. It's great.
Take his advice, then. My friend, Tennessee, he loved those movies a lot as well. I myself, I'm not big on the A24 brand, but I do like the movie Green Room. That was an 18. It was more of a thriller, more than anything, about neo-Nazis and Trumpish type people attacking a punk rock band in Oregon.
What film was that again?
Green Room.
Oh, that, yeah, I've heard about that. I also want to watch
it. You probably would like it because the music in it as well, but it's also very Assault on Precinct 13, but with punk rockers and National Front types. It was definitely controversial, but that's my favorite A24 film aside from First Reformed. That's not really a horror film, but that's more of a contemplative vigilante sort of loner drama, like Taxi Driver, about a priest who has a fortunate awakening after a guy's suicide, and he believes in this conspiracy about people making profit off of oil and destruction of the environment. It's a 15, but mostly because of graphic scenes of shotgun blasts, post-mortem detail. So yes, give those a try.
Which film? What was that film again?
First Reformed.
First Reformed.
Yep. That's my other favourite film from that distributor. Unfortunately, A24 is not a distributor in the UK. It's a distributor in America. But they have made their presence known pretty much in all the Anglophone countries.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, through entertainment film distributors or Mubi or any of the others. Or
well, they respond
Official Eye.
They did that whole Everything Everywhere All at Once movie that came out earlier this year, which was fucking amazing. I mean, that was a brilliant movie. I mean, yeah, I think A24 just generally make good films, and I think I am looking forward to seeing what else they come up with in the future.
Well, hopefully they can release Peril, which is a sequel to X. That should be coming out at least sometime soon.
Yep, looking forward to that.
It probably might get an 18 because I hear it's quite wild at places, even if it is not as explicit as X was. In my opinion, I know this is a bit off topic of me. We said this before in the last podcast. X felt more graphic and NC-17-ish than Blonde did. I'm probably not the only one to think this.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree.
But yeah, unfortunately, I think that's all the time we have for today, but it's nice having you on board. As always, Rob Bavister, I don't know when we'll be doing our next one, but we'll probably talk about Christmas movies or TV shows. Or
cool, I could talk about Die Hard then.
Yeah, and I'll certainly talk about The Snowman.
Oh, no. What about...
How much that made me cry.
Well, how about... Well, next month we could probably do one about the 40th anniversary of modern BBFC ratings.
Oh, shit. You just reminded me, because that starts on the 2nd of November.
We don't have to do it that early. We can just do it in November. It doesn't have to be specifically on the anniversary.
Oh, of course. Yeah, as always. I'm trying to see if I can get the BBFC to actually interview me person to person about PG-15 and 18 having its 40th anniversary, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
I'm still waiting to hear from them. If it doesn't work out, then I'll talk with you about the 40 years of PG-15 and 18.
Alrighty then, no problem. Okay, well, that was absolutely blast, Mark. I enjoyed myself once again. Thank you for your time, and all your listeners, take care and have a good day.
Take care now. No star. Up in a good time, right?